That's a beautiful song. Thank you, Craig and Patty. And of course, Craig and Patty got kidnapped by their teenagers yesterday and went to the conference there in Bridgeport with them, with Kendall and Monica. And then Brother Hollins, you got to drive, right? Liz, did you go too? No, just Ray got to drive, and teens had a great time. Appreciate all the folks helping out with the teens. And it takes a whole bunch. Amen. It really does deal with these teenagers. But good group of kids, really, honestly. Praise the Lord for that. That's a great song. Goes right along with the message. And I was just looking at my watch, and it's just 10 o'clock, so I've got... 10 tried to pull that off of the Sunday school class. That's why he was late. But no, I know what time it is. You never know that, but I do. Titus 1 is where we're going to be preaching from today, both this morning and tonight. This is this morning's message is part 1. Tonight will be part 2. So you have to come back tonight to get the whole message. And that works real well. But 2013, our theme is For Such a Time as This. And we're studying a time for truth in the month of March. So all the messages are about truth. And so last Sunday morning, I preached on the record of truth, and that is the Word of God. God's given us His record. He's written it down so that we can read it, we can study it, and we can know the truth. And the reality of truth was last Sunday night, and on Wednesday night, talked about the reception of truth, and then this morning and tonight, the respect for truth, the respect for truth. And I take the words here in verse 1, the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. The acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Paul is saying that that I recognize truth that is after godliness. I pay attention to it. I have a respect for that truth. Now, I hope today that you do as well. And by the end of the day, we should have a whole lot better understanding of why we should have a respect for the truth. You know, by the way, many people don't want it today. We'll spend a lot of time talking about that. A lot of folks don't like it. We'll get into that. We already have just a little bit. But this morning, the respect for truth. I have 2 points this morning, and then I have a few points tonight. Don't want to discourage you, but anyway, the respect for truth. Father, thank you for the time we have now to study your word and to listen, and I pray you'll cause us to pay very close attention to thy word. I pray we'd not be distracted by things going on today, things in the future, things happening in our lives, but we would listen carefully to your word and especially have a respect for the truth this morning as you speak to our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting, in the Bible you see here the custom of signing the name first. You know, we write a letter, and we always put, at the end of the letter, we put, well, depends who you're writing to. You know, when I write to my wife, I put love, or love with lilies, or something like that. And some of this cute and sweet, and we always sign our letters like that. Well, in the Bible here, we see the letter, the custom was to start the letter with the closing and introducing yourself at the beginning. And that's how Paul does. He introduces himself in verse 4 to Titus. You know, we look at that as backward, but it's very interesting how Paul introduces himself. That's actually what I'm preaching from here. He introduces himself here in verse 1, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect. And again, here he is introducing himself. He says it's according to faith and the acknowledging of the truth. He says, because I have paid attention to the truth, I've respected the truth, I have acknowledged it, I've given it a place. And but notice, he says, it's the truth which is after godliness. He's not talking about just any truth. And there's a lot of truth in the world. Let's be honest, we talked about it last week, and we got into some very, very deep truth. Like 1 + 1 = isn't that awesome? We can agree on something. Isn't that good? And now, we know that to be true. I've got another one for you today. We're going to move up because we are learning more and more. 2 + 2 = isn't that awesome? We are math geniuses. Would that be genii? More than one? Anyway. Okay, so 2 + 2 = 4, and H2O is... We know that. Those things are true. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen equals water. Don't understand it, but it's true. We know that's true, all right? By the way, some truth we don't understand. We don't always understand it. Do you understand that we could get into some very, very difficult math problems or chemistry issues and problems and math equations that are true, and we would all just kind of look at it like, really? And we would have, but it's still true. And just because I don't understand it doesn't make it not true. Just because you don't understand it doesn't make it not true either, right? Just because we don't get it, just because it doesn't work into our scheme, well, that doesn't lessen the fact that it's true. I remember in school when I would have some X's on my test, and I didn't necessarily like the X's, but that didn't take away the fact that what was true, and what was false, right? Amen. Same with the Bible, folks. But there's a lot of truth in the world. H2O is water, 2 plus 2 is 4, 1 plus 1 is 2. The capital of Michigan is Lansing. These things are all true. Did you hear about the teacher that asked the blonde? I shouldn't say blonde. Oh, I feel so bad. How about if it's a blonde guy?
Thank you.
Good, thank you. You're not even a blonde. Anyway, alright, so the teacher asked the blonde guy in class, what was the capital of Montana? And he scratched his head and thought and thought and said, you know, it just hit him. He said, M. And, boy, you're a tough bunch, I'll tell you, it's just bad. But, there's several folks saying, so? Anyway. That's bad. Paul here says, okay, there is a lot of truth, okay? There's a lot of truth out there. But he's talking about truth that has to do with godliness, truth which is after godliness. It is Bible truth. It is godly truth. He's talking about truth, he says in verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. He's talking about truth that has to do with eternity. He's talking about the most important truth. Now, I'm not telling you 2 plus 2 isn't important, and I'm not telling you H2O isn't important, and I'm not telling you that history and capitals and geography and all that is not important. All those things are important, but the truth that Paul is talking about is absolutely the most important truth, because it deals with eternity. It deals with where we spend eternity. He introduces himself as a servant and an apostle, and he introduces himself as one who has a respect for the truth that deals with eternity. A respect for the truth that goes well beyond our 70, 80, 90 years here on this earth. It goes well beyond what we think are the important things of life, like having a house and having a car and having a job and eating and all those things. No, it goes well beyond that. It goes into eternity. And the truth that is after godliness is a truth that deals with what happens afterwards. And he says, I've acknowledged that truth. I am one, I want you to know, he says, Titus, I want you to understand, I am one who has respect for that kind of truth. That kind of truth that deals with eternity, that deals with what happens next. Now, I understand, you know, the world doesn't want to talk about that. Folks don't want to hear about that. You know, we all disagree on that, and everybody does disagree. Everybody, you know, there's going to be different sides and different things. But here's what I present to you today. Paul is saying, I acknowledge the truth. This truth right here. Amen. He says, I acknowledge what God has said is the way to eternal life. I acknowledge that truth. Truth for eternal life. Wait a minute. And he says this in verse 2 that I love it. He says, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. This is God's promise. Paul says, I acknowledge there is truth that God gave us, and he promised us, and he told us this is how it is. Paul says, I respect that truth. I acknowledge that truth. I want that truth. I've taken that truth. I have believed that truth. And I come to you, Titus, that way as one who has believed that truth. Now, I stand before you today behind this pulpit as one who believes that truth as well.
I stand before you today as one who at the age of 17 realized that that was the truth, and that I was a sinner lost on my way to hell, and that Jesus died and he paid the price for my sin, and he rose again to give me that eternal life. And I stand before you today as one who says, you know what? I also respect that truth. I acknowledge that truth, and that truth that is the most important. I believe 2 plus 2 is 4. I believe H2O is water. I believe the capital of Michigan is Lansing. I believe all those things. And I believe that, different truths in this world. But the truth that is the most important truth I had to deal with at the age of 17. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I got to hear the truth. And the Bible says it's the truth that will set you free. And that same truth did set me free. And God changed my life because of that truth. Now, here's the thing. Paul says, I am giving my attention to that truth. I'm respecting that truth. Now, we need to respect that truth. Now, again, I'm going to talk mostly this morning about, eternal life. But the truth is the truth involving eternal life, but it involves our life here, too. It's all of our life. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly, but it doesn't just start when you die. It starts when you get saved. God has a life for us. And here's the truth right here. It tells us how to live. It tells us what to do. It tells us why we do what we do. Amen. And it is the truth. It's the truth in godliness. It is the truth which is after godliness. All kinds of truth out there, but particularly we pay attention to God's truth. Now, by the way, we are a church, and that is what we do. That's what it's all about. We want to talk to you about God's truth. We have a Christian school. We teach all kinds of truth, but we particularly really focus on God's truth. Amen. That is the difference. And because we recognize there's lots of truth out there, but we're focusing on God's truth. Now I want to give you two reasons that we need to respect the truth. The respect for the truth is so important. I'm going to give you two reasons this morning, and that ought to encourage you. Say two. We won't be here very long. Amen. Again, truth. I'm telling you the truth. Just two things. All right. Number one, truth prosecutes the sinner. Now, I'll be honest with you. You better respect the truth. Truth prosecutes the sinner. Paul says, I acknowledged that one day. Paul said, I recognized one day that truth is going to prosecute me. I realized that one day. It's the truth. That's the issue right there. Truth prosecutes the sinner. And you go to a courtroom, what do they say? Swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. I'm going to tell the truth. What do we want? We want the truth. We want the whole truth. We want nothing but the truth. Don't want anything but the truth. Okay? We don't want to hear anything except the truth. The whole idea is to figure out what is the truth. We talked about it last week. And I got into some things like that. The whole system is based on what? The truth. That's the trial. That's what the whole thing's about. I mean, usually you have one side saying one thing, and another side is saying another thing. We have to, okay, somebody has to figure out the truth. Could be a jury, could be a judge. Somebody has to figure out what is true. And so, again, it could be a matter of determining guilt or innocence. Could be a matter of determining different things. A jury decides based on what? On the truth. Judge decides based on the truth. In Paul's acknowledging of God's truth, he is saying, I have a respect for a truth that proves me guilty. I have a respect for a truth that proves that I'm guilty. By the way, that's why a lot of people don't like it. Honestly, that's why, we go door to door and go to people's homes and talk to people. And one of the things that always comes out, I mean, you're not supposed to make that come out right at first. Are you going to hell or heaven? That's not typically the way you strike up a conversation. Though I've had people say things like that because they're terrified. But we're trying to get the truth. Hey, have you ever thought about what the Bible says? And if I could show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven, would you listen? And we go through this over and over, don't we, Kathy? All the time. Do it at the fair. Do it, and we're trying to give people the truth. But what are we trying to show them? Well, we're trying to show them they're sinners.
Yeah, it's the toughest thing about soul winning.
Well, I wish it was all about just giving everybody a hug. And just love, 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 love. But the fact of the matter is, we have to, you know, Paul says, I acknowledge the fact that this truth right here, God, which is after godliness, well, the truth of the matter is, he recognized that this truth doesn't show him as godly. It shows him as a sinner.
It's the truth, though. It's the truth.
It's kind of like everybody got in front of a mirror this morning.
Well, some maybe didn't. It's kind of obvious, but no.
But we all got in front of a mirror, you know, and we're saying, tell me the truth. You know, just tell it like it is. And mirrors do. They really do. The only thing they don't do, and our mirror doesn't, I'll never forget the first time somebody took a picture and they showed me the back of my head. And I was shocked because I didn't realize I was bald in the back. Because I don't ever see that.
Anyway, that's deep.
But a mirror pretty much tells me what I, you know, you stand there and you look and you want the truth, right? Or you wouldn't get in front of a mirror. Now, I know you'd like it to be different. Amen. You'd like to either have some hair or a different color hair or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, you just look and you want, okay, tell it like it is. Sometimes it means you got to comb it. Sometimes it means you got to, right? Sometimes you got to wash that smudge. Sometimes you got to pop that zit. I'm sorry, it's Sunday morning. We don't talk like that on Sunday mornings. Anyway, but you look in the mirror and you figure it out. You know, you've got to try to figure it out. Well, the Bible says that the Bible is a mirror. And we have to look in here to see what we really look like. It is important. And to acknowledge the truth, to respect the truth is to understand the truth. The truth, we're not playing games here. The truth is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we're asking you this morning to respect a truth that makes you guilty.
That's the toughest thing we have to do about soul winning.
Honestly, it really is.
Toughest thing we do in soul winning is show people from the Bible that we're sinners.
Now, if people would really be honest, they would recognize that we are sinners. They would recognize because, well, yeah, I have wrong thoughts. Oh, yeah, I do sinful things. I've lied. I've done this. I've texted during church. So the point is this right here. This right here, it makes it very clear to me. See, when I was 16, 15, started going to church during that time, I started recognizing that I was a sinner. You say, well, that's a bad thing. We don't want that. No, that is such a good thing. I am so glad. So glad. And that's what Paul's saying. Paul also came to grips with that too. He acknowledged the truth says, I'm a sinner. Look real quick. Psalm 96, verse 13. Psalm 96 and verse 13. Just a couple of verses about truth. And they're all over the Bible. I mean, there are so many verses. That's why I can make a whole month out of it. You know, when you make a whole month about a certain subject, like March is, January was a time for unity, and February, of course, a time for love, and March is a time for truth. You better make sure you have a lot of material. You know, that's why we don't have a time for anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Wait, what?
That's not going to be one of our months. I just thought I'd tell you that. I'm trying to help some of you smile. You have not smiled the whole time we've been here yet. We're in church. We're supposed to be happy. You said I'm a sinner. No, I didn't say it. The truth is you are. It's kind of like when you look in the mirror and you have broccoli between your teeth. And you didn't eat broccoli. Think through that just a little bit. Psalm 96 and verse 13. It says, before the Lord... For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. How are we going to be judged? We're going to be judged with his truth. Again, there's a lot of truth in the world, but his truth is the truth after godliness, which is the word of God, and that is how judgment takes place. It is with his truth. Romans 2, verse 2.
Romans chapter 2 and verse 2. What else does it say about truth? It says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. It's according to truth. It's not based on any, again, you could be accused of something, it doesn't mean you did it. And it happens all the time. The whole idea of a trial is to find out, okay, did this person do this? We're supposed to be presumed innocent until proven guilty. And it is supposed to be that way. And then the proof has to come out both ways and all of that. But as far as God's truth is concerned, we are sure, the Bible says, judgment of God is according to truth. It always will be. It isn't going to be a matter of us being accused of something we did not do. It's going to be a matter of us being accused of something that we did do. It did take place. Think of your life. You ever sinned? You don't have to volunteer. Yes, and I, here's what it was. No, please don't tell us. You don't have to do that today. But we all have. And if we're honest, we would admit that. So again, the Bible is clear. We are judged with His truth, and we are judged according to His truth. Psalm 119, verse 142, just write that down. The Bible says the law, His law, is truth. What's the law? Thou shalt and thou shalt not. All those thou shalts and all those thou shalt nots, that's the law. And there's other parts of the law, but that kind of breaks it down. There's a whole lot of those in there. Amen? Yeah. Hey, I've never murdered anybody. I'm a pretty good person. Amen. I'm glad. Don't murder people, please. But see, the law is truth, the Bible says. All that thou shalt and all that thou shalt not, those are all truth. That's what God says. He says, my law is truth. Just like 1 plus 1 equals 2. Just like 2 plus 2 equals 4. Just like H2O equals water. I mean, God's law is truth. Amen. And the Bible says in Psalm 19, verse 7, it says the law of the Lord is perfect. Now, our laws in the land, they're not always perfect, but they are still the law. You may disagree with speed limits. You may have proven that you disagree with speed limits. But that's not perfect, but God's law is perfect. Okay, the law of the Lord is perfect. And so, just like our court system, somewhere along the line in a courtroom situation, the law says this, and then the prosecutor says, he did this. And he broke the law. Okay, good example. When I got my 64 Camaro, no, my 69 Camaro, and... 5-speed, and took a group of guys. By the way, how many of you know that 69 Camaro 5-speed and group of guys is a bad combination? Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That is not a good combination. But anyway, and 16-year-old guy. Yeah, long-haired hippie, remember those days. Anyway, and anyway, we're in the 69 Camaro 5-speed, and we're going down Highway 37 to Indianapolis, back before we knew a whole lot about interstates and stuff, though there were some. But anyway, going down Highway 37, the speed limit, there was a big sign, a little sign off to the right, and it said 60. And so I was going down 37 with a group of guys in a 5-speed Camaro. When I got pulled over, by the way, when you're 16 years old and you get pulled over, there's nothing scarier. I don't know of anything. Back in those days, now that's before, there was so much disrespect to the police. Back in those days, we were terrified of the police and terrified of breaking the law. And when that little, the little lights are starting to flash and all that kind of stuff, it is absolutely terrifying to a 16-year-old. And I mean, I was terrified. I don't care what they're saying now. This isn't groovy, man. Far out. Wow. Things changed real fast. Now, here's the thing. An officer comes up, wants my license. I can't even think of what a license is. You're just terrified. It just was not good. Anyway, he says, you know how fast you were going? I said, no, I'm not real sure. He said, I am. I said, really, what was I going? He said, 70 miles an hour. I said, oh. I didn't know this would go that fast. you know, when they don't laugh at your jokes, it doesn't go over well. You know you're in trouble. Now, I remember standing before the judge, and the judge said this. He said, the law says you can go 60. You were going 70. You're guilty. It's just that simple, folks, honestly. I had all kinds of things I had prepared to give as excuses. I mean, I wore my first clip-on tie. I'm not making fun of them. Some of you are wearing them now. But I'm just saying that I was absolutely terrified. Literally, whatever I wore was soaked in sweat. And the judge said, here's how it is. All right, the law says you can go 60. You were going 70. That was that. It was that simple. But doesn't matter. That's it. That is it. Now, here we need to understand. Why is that? Because the 60 was truth. 61 was error. 62 was error. 63 was error. 70 was error. Right? And I paid the fine. Don't remember what it was. I just remember it was a lot for back in those days. Amen. Now look, God's law is perfect. I cannot argue with God's law. So what should I do? I should respect it. Once you recognize, you can't argue. Do you understand? Once you recognize, there is a law here in the city of Adrian. You're not allowed to park on the street after certain hours of the day. And I believe David got a ticket when he was going to college, and he came to visit us, and he parked there. And we didn't know the law. Didn't know that. And I was told, I think Norm Helinski told me, said that there's signs at every entrance into the city that have that law stated on there. Every entrance. As if I'd stop at the entrance of the city and read a little sign. What's that mean? Guilt. It's the law, right? Some of you are saying, I didn't know that. Yeah, it's the law. And ignorance is no excuse. You understand that? All right, I'm going to move fast here because some of you are starting to look like you're getting it. All right, I know that's why I had to slow down a little bit. You know, I'm pulling you along. But here's the thing: what do I have to do then? I have to respect that law, don't I? Yeah, it's called respecting the truth. Because it doesn't matter whether I agree or not, right? But Your Honor, you know, I just couldn't help it. My foot was stuck on that accelerator. The accelerator got stuck. That's always good, right? And it was stuck, and it just wasn't, you know, there was nothing I could do about it, Your Honor. And guilty. Tough, isn't it? Some of you have been there, haven't you? Right. Romans 3, verse 19, look at it. Romans 3, 19. We're moving so fast now, it is unbelievable. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Isn't that good? Who's that? Us. Yeah, we're under that law. That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Now, that's what the law says, okay? For all of us under the law, all the world may become guilty before God. Why? Because we've all broken the law at one time or another. Every one of us. I mean, there's all kinds of things in the law that we do right. Amen. And I don't always speed. When I was 16, I didn't always speed. A lot of times, especially when I was parked. I remember when the clutch went out, I wasn't speeding. Come on, folks. I don't want to start pulling you along again. Hey, listen to me. The Bible says all the world may become guilty before God because His law is perfect. There isn't any argument with it. Therefore, verse 20, get this now. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Well, that'll show them. That's us. We're flesh. No flesh will be justified in His sight. What's that mean? No flesh will be not guilty in His sight. Not of its own merit. None. No flesh. Well, I'm a pretty good person. No flesh. Well, I'm a religious person. No flesh. Well, but I did catechism. No flesh. Yeah, but I joined the church. No flesh. Yeah, but my dad's a deacon. No flesh. None. No flesh. Yeah, but I helped little old ladies cross the street. No flesh.
Yeah, but I'm a volunteer at the hospital. No flesh. No flesh. What's it say? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. See, that's the law shows us that no flesh shall be justified in his sight.
Ooh, this is terrible. We're going to be encouraged by the end of this, trust me.
Under the law, all of us are under the law, and all of us are guilty. By the deeds of the law, no flesh is justified. And you know, immediately somebody say, yeah, but I keep the law. And I did too, most of the time. The one time I was going 70 miles an hour in a 60 mile an hour zone, and I was guilty. And there was absolutely nothing I could do about that. Guilty. I could have argued all I wanted. I could have said, Your Honor, you don't understand. I don't see very well. That's not a good thing to argue when you're talking about driving. I couldn't see the sign. Oh, let me see your license, sir. Shred. Listen, folks, honestly, we come up with every kind of excuse in the world. We'll come up with every kind of thing in the world. We'll talk to God about this and talk to... Let's have a respect for the truth here. The truth tells me I'm lost. The truth tells me I need to be saved. It is by the truth of God's word that we know we sinned. Why? Because we broke God's law. And the Bible says if we sin in one point, just one point, we're guilty of all. Because no sin will enter into heaven. Please stay with me now. That's why no flesh can be justified. No sin can get into heaven. You say, nobody can go to heaven. Man, just hold on. The message isn't over yet. Right? This is why, and I belabor this because I want to make sure we understand just basic Bible doctrine. This is why you cannot work your way to heaven. This is why good works, religiousness, won't get us into heaven. It can't. This is why it can't get us out of the guilt of our sin. Because the speed limit sign still says 60, and I went 70. But Your Honor, all those times that I went 30 when it said 30, and all those times that I went 45 when it said 45, and what about all those times it said 60 and I went 60? He said, but this time, you went 70. And you are guilty. Oh. We understand that with a silly illustration of a speeding ticket. Most of us have experienced it. We won't ask for a show of hands, and we won't ask how recent. We'll just read the paper. And but here's the thing. Here's what the judge is saying. You need to respect that sign every time. Because it's the truth. Why? Because it's the law. Could you come up with a better way? Yeah, I'm sure you could. I'm sure we could all figure out better ways and all that. Doesn't change the fact that that's what it is. What should I do with that sign then? Obey. What should I do with God's truth? Obey. But the truth is I don't. And I didn't. And so it prosecutes the sinner. Watch me now. Revelation 12 and verse 10. Here's boy, this is something that you can chew on. That'll make you mad. But some won't get mad. Revelation 12 and verse 10. What's it say about Satan? And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Verse 9 says, that's the devil and Satan. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Who? Satan, the devil, is the accuser. He's the accuser. He's accusing you. You say, wait a minute, I thought he's tempting me. Now you get it? The same one who tempts you, as soon as you do it, he accuses you. Now here's the thing about the devil, and we learned this last week. The devil cannot. The devil is a liar. He is always a liar. But there is one time that he has to tell the truth. Well, when's that? When he accuses you.
because it's the truth is the only thing that can prosecute us. Now stay with me here. It's not that deep, because you're giving that look, well, I'm going to start pulling on you again. All right? The only thing that can be used to prosecute us is the truth. The law. That's the only thing that can be used. So one time, Satan has to say, here's what he did. Here's what he did. Here's what your law says, and here's what he did. That Tim Cook, this is what he did, and here's what the law said. The law says 60 miles an hour. He went 70 miles an hour, and that's just a silly illustration, but that's the one time Satan has to tell the truth. And guess what? When he accuses you and I, it is the truth. We did do it. He lied! You said not to lie! He lied! We did. He had a wicked thought. He thought wicked things and sinful things. You said he couldn't do that. He did it. And everything he accuses us of is true. And ultimately what he's saying is they broke the law. And that makes us guilty. Why should I respect the truth? Well, because the truth prosecutes the sinner. It shows that I'm a sinner. And when Satan accuses me, he's telling the truth. He's discouraged. You said he can't be discouraged. He's not trusting you. And he's telling the truth. What's that mean? It means guilty. Number one, it prosecutes the sinner. And then this little teeny point here. Number two, truth provides a solution. You see, we're not going to end there. We're not going to end with prosecution because I'm smiling. I'm rejoicing. Amen? Because yes, it is true. Folks, the Word of God is it's perfect. And it shows me that I'm a sinner. But it shows me I'm a sinner so that I can meet the Savior. It shows me that I'm a sinner so that I realize I need the Savior. And so number two, truth provides a solution. Truth isn't always liked. Kind of like when the eye doctor told me I had glaucoma. I didn't like that. I didn't go home and say, glaucoma! That's wonderful! Isn't that great? No, I didn't do that. But the same truth that showed me that I had glaucoma, the doctor said, here's the solution. There's surgery, there's drops, there's a solution. And the doctor said one time, he said, actually he didn't say this, but I saw his chart notes. And I happened to look down at his notes about me, and two words were on there, and it said, morbidly obese. Of course, first thing I thought was, who are you talking about, buddy? He was fatter than me, but anyway. So I said, Doc, morbid. He said, those are just scientific terms. I mean, it's not. I looked down and I said, you know what I'm talking about when you kind of get the jello action going. I said, is this what you're talking about? And he said, yeah. He said, listen to me. There is a solution. Lose weight. You know, aren't you glad that when God gives us the truth about being lost, that's what Paul was talking about, when he gives us the truth about being lost and on our way to hell and no flesh can be justified, isn't it wonderful that he gave us the truth of the solution? Amen. Amen. God's word is truth. All have sinned. All have broken the law. But the same truth is, in fact, the solution. Real quick, Colossians 1, verse 5. We're winding things down here, but I don't have to pull you along. Colossians 1 and verse 5. Here's what it says. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Yeah. The truth of the gospel. What is the gospel? Gospel is good news. That's what the word means. Good news. Amen. And so the truth, the word of God, gave me some bad news. I'm a sinner. But then it gave me some good news. There is a way to be forgiven. Amen. And so the same truth that showed me the bad news is the same truth that gave me good news. Same truth when you looked in the mirror and you saw green between your teeth, same truth said you can pick that green out or pull the tooth. Anyway, but same truth, same truth, same truth. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, it says this. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, it describes this good news to us, and it really is good news. 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And then he was buried. And then he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that's the gospel. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He said in verse 2, by which also ye are saved. Saved from what? Saved from the guilt. Saved from the judgment that had to take place because of my guilt for sin. I'm saved. I can be saved. How? By accepting Jesus Christ who died, who was buried, who rose again. The solution, get saved. The solution is to trust Christ. The solution is to be born again. The solution is to accept Jesus as Savior. The way has been provided. It's simply a matter of us accepting His way. It is the truth. Look at Psalm 85 and verse 10. Psalm 85 and verse 10. We'll refer back to this tonight. Psalm 85 and verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Don't you love that? Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. I love that. I love mercy and truth. What's that mean? That means the truth says, I'm condemned. Mercy said, come on over here, truth. Come on over here, truth. And they got together. Hallelujah. They got together. And mercy said, though he sinned, he can be forgiven. My Savior died on the cross to pay my sin. And they met together. And praise God, they're together now in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and mercy and truth. They shook hands at the cross of Christ. Praise God. Amen. Yes, truth prosecutes the sinner, but it also provides a solution. The solution that we need. Back to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. I am so close to being done. You ought to be able to hear the food frying. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. What's that mean? Once you respect the truth, when the truth has shown me that I'm lost, that same truth has shown me I can be saved, I'm acknowledging that truth, and the Bible says, repent. What's that mean? Change your mind. Change your mind. Oh, I guess good works can't get me to heaven, can they? No. Oh, I guess that being religious can't get me to heaven, can it? No. Oh, I guess that all the volunteering that I've done, that's not going to save me, is it? No. No. I need to change my mind. I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Yeah. Yeah, because the error. Remember, we talked about truth, and we'll talk about this a lot. Truth is, it has boundaries. Error has no boundaries. Truth says there's just one way. Error says there's all kinds of ways. You know, truth says 1 plus 1's 2. Error says 1 plus 1's 10. 1 plus 1's 40. 1 plus 1's 569,625. Truth says, no, this is what it is. And so, you know, you hear words like, well, religion will save. No, the Bible, truth says, sin, if you sin in one point, you're guilty of all. So religion can't help you. You know, good works will save. The truth says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. You know, error says, I'm not so bad. Truth says, all are guilty. Error says, well, I'm no worse than anybody else. truth says, so what? There's a lot of people in hell. Why would you want to go to hell just because there's a whole bunch of people there? Doesn't make sense to me. It's like saying, well, I'd like to go to prison because there's a whole bunch of people there. Yes. Error says, well, there's many ways to heaven. Truth says, 1 + 1 = 2. You know that. You believe that. What is the true answer? Jesus said, I am. I am. What's the answer? Jesus said, I am. That's what he said. He said, I am the way. How do I get to heaven? Jesus said, I'm the way. Well, yeah, but I want to go light some candles. Listen to me. Jesus said, I am the way. Verse 25 of the 2 Timothy 2, it says, those that oppose themselves. How do you oppose yourself? You ignore the truth. You ignore the truth. But officer, I didn't know. You just passed the sign. See, the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The same truth that prosecutes the sinner also provides the solution. I close with John 16, verse 13. So many people do not understand the work of the Holy Spirit. But here's one of the things that the Holy Spirit of God does. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will guide you into all truth. And as a teenager, every time I went to a church that preached the gospel, I felt a tugging at my heart. Usually the invitation would be given and my heart would start to speed up and sweat would break out. Now, I had no clue what was going on. I didn't know, but there was something bugging me as if to tap me on, hey, aren't you paying attention? What are you doing? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you getting saved? Why didn't you go? We call that conviction. We call that the Holy Spirit of God. What is it? The Bible says that when he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. What's your problem, Felix? Truth. That was it. Truth. He was confronted with the truth. The Bible says he trembled. In Belshazzar, when the truth was written on a wall, the Bible says his knees knocked together. What's your problem, buddy? It's God trying to guide you. What brought you to church? What brought you to the condition, the situation? Whether it's a medical issue or a problem or whatever that brought you to the place where all of a sudden you're confronted. What is God saying? I want you to get the truth. I want you to see the truth. You're not looking at the truth. Pay attention to the truth. And the truth is, we all deserve punishment because of our sin. The truth is, Jesus took it for us. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're not saved today, you can be saved. By the same truth that shows you need to be saved, you can be saved.